What do you think of this prodigal son story? Do you appreciate it? Do you identify with it? Does it offend you? Why do we keep telling this story some 2,000 years after Jesus first told it? Marla works at an old, dusty diner in town. She usually works the night shift so that her roommate can keep an eye on Marla's 2-year-old son. She doesn't really know who the baby's father is. She has a couple ideas, but not that it would matter. None of the men she's dated are really father material. Growing up, she had two parents and a brother. Regular middle-class family. In high school, she had dreams of becoming a teacher. She applied to a couple colleges. But then, I guess you could say, she fell in with the wrong crowd. She stopped going to school, stopped going to church, stopped doing a lot of things. After an argument with her parents, she left home. She hadn't seen them in a few years. They came to the hospital when her son was born, hoping that this might lead to a reunion, restoration of their relationship. But when her parents came back the next day, Marla had left against medical advice, not telling the nurses where she was going. Without any real skills to speak of and a baby to be responsible for, Marla found this job waitressing at the diner. The money wasn't great, but what else did she know how to do? One day, just last week, Marla was telling me about one of her favorite customers. He came into the diner often, and usually he brought in one or two rather interesting characters. Sometimes he'd walk in with a man, sick and thin, who looked like he just got out of rehab. Other times, he was there sharing coffee with a woman that everyone knew was a prostitute. One night, he even brought in a guy who said he worked for the IRS. There was no bottom to the people this man would bring into the diner. If I remember correctly, Marla said, his name was Jesus. A few weeks ago, Marla was working the night shift and she was waiting on Jesus. This time he had come to the diner alone, but there was a table right next to his, filled with a bunch of men dressed in suits and ties. Marla had seen them in here before. They were from the local ministerial association. These ministers, they weren't the best tippers, but they were nice enough. Whenever the food would come out, they would hold hands and pray in a loud voice so all in the diner could hear them. This particular night, they were giving Jesus a hard time because of the kind of people he's been hanging around. The kinds of people he brought to this very diner. And to their dismay, Jesus didn't seem to see the problem with all this. Don't you know the message you're sending, Jesus? You claim to be a preacher or teacher like us, but who's going to believe you speak for God when you hang out with these people? Now, if you were preaching to them, setting them straight, well, that might be a different story. but you look like you actually enjoy being with them. Marla overheard Jesus say, well, you're right. I do enjoy being with them. They need my love and attention and grace just as much as you do. The only difference is they seem to know how much they need it. Realizing he wasn't getting anywhere with them, Jesus said, say, fellas, can I tell you a story? Marla, why don't you take a seat? I think you'll like this one too. There was once a young girl who grew up out in the country somewhere between here and Charlottesville. She had loving parents, but they were pretty strict. When she started to drive, she began sneaking out of the house and driving to her boyfriend's house. They suspected she had started drinking, trying other things too. They hated the music she listened to, the way she had been dyeing her hair jet black. They tried to see it as normal teenage rebellion, but it was just getting to be a little much. After a rather heated argument with her father, she yelled, I hate you! She slammed the door to her bedroom. In her room, she packed a bag and dumped out her piggy bank. She hopped on her computer and bought an Amtrak ticket. She then enacted a plan that she had been rehearsing in her mind several times before. She had never been to New York City before. She figured that's the last place her parents would go looking for her. She stays the first night in a hostel. And on her second day in New York, she found some friends. They told her where she could get a bite to eat, found her a sofa to crash on, and gave her a couple pills to ease the nervousness. She had a brief scare when she was watching TV in the hostel lobby, when an amber alert came across the screen. It showed her face. But luckily, it was an older picture. She hardly resembled that girl now. After about a week, she met a man. He drove a very nice car and found Marla an apartment. He took her to some nice restaurants and bought her some fancy clothes. She couldn't believe her new life. Why did her parents want to keep her from having this fun? This continued for several months, almost a year. The man who had been so kind to her before started taking in some other girls. She didn't like that, but what could she do? She started feeling poorly, like she had the flu or something, but it just wouldn't go away. The man who had taken care of her asked her to leave. Put her out on the street with no money for a place to stay. She slept on some metal grates outside of some high-rise buildings. Well, not that she could sleep much. Her cough got worse. One night after dark, she's trying to get comfortable on her cardboard mat and sleeping bag. And she glances at her reflection in the window of the building she's sleeping in front of, and she's startled by what she sees there. She sees a little girl, frightened and all alone. She remembers this time of year, her dad would go out on the back porch and grab some firewood, build a fire in their living room, and they would snuggle close under a blanket on the sofa and watch the logs burn down. Why did I leave? She asked herself. I had everything. I threw it away. My dog back home eats better than I do. She began to weep and weep and weep and just wanted to go home. She dries her eyes and pulls her cell phone out of her backpack to call her parents. No answer. She hangs up without leaving a message. And then panic hits when she realizes they're going to see her number on caller ID. So about 10 minutes later, she calls again. Leaves a message this time. Mom? Dad? It's me. I was wondering if maybe I could come home. I have just enough money for a bus ticket. Bus should get into Richmond tomorrow around midnight. If you're not at the Greyhound station, you know, I understand. I'll just keep riding until they kick me off wherever that is. The next morning, she boards the bus back to Richmond. She doesn't even know if they got the phone message. As the miles pass on Interstate 95, she rehearses her speech. Dad, Mom, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, I was wrong. Can you forgive me? Please, can you ever forgive me? After the bus passes Washington, D.C. and enters Virginia, she's a nervous wreck. Less than 2 hours to go. Her heart is about to beat out of her chest. Finally, the bus gets off the interstate, heads to the Greyhound station. She looks at her reflection in the mirror, smooths her hair, pops a peppermint. She walks into the bus terminal and starts looking around. Never in a million years was she prepared for what she saw there. There must have been 50 people, cousins, uncles, aunts, grandparents, neighbors. They're all wearing these party hats and silly matching t-shirts, and they're holding up a huge banner that says, "Welcome home, baby!" And out from the crowd breaks her father. He grabs her and pulls her so close she can hardly breathe. The tears run down her face, staining his shirt. She begins her speech, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I'm so..." "Shh, shh, shh, honey, there's no time for that," her dad says. "Mama's back home preparing a feast. Let's get going. We can't be late for this party. Welcome home, baby girl. Welcome home." This whole time, Marla's been sitting there. She's still holding her coffee pot. Why did Jesus tell this story? How did he know? How did he know this was her story? After a moment, she gets up and whispers to Jesus, "Thank you." She sits down in an empty booth. She pulls a cell phone out of her apron. She dials the number. She takes a big breath and then says, "Dad? Daddy? It's me, Marla. You think I could come home?"